What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Let's clear out winter and clean up the lawn with Spring Black Friday savings at the Home Depot. Right now, get the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and make your lawn work easier with a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power. And with convenient online shopping, you can order on the app, pick up in store, and get outside sooner. Get your yard spring ready with the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower, now just $89 during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, it's been the mission to help the military community for over 90 years. And not just help them, but do everything to make sure they not only grow, but flourish. That's why Navy Federal Credit Union has all kinds of great savings and investment options, like share certificates with sky-high rates. So don't hesitate. Start growing your finances today with a variety of savings and investment options. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured, not obligations of Navy Federal and may lose value.
This is Lee Habib, and this is Our American Stories. And we tell stories about everything here on this show, including yours. Send them to OurAmericanStories.com. Up next, a story from Betsy and Elaine Brumley on their father, Bob. Bob Brumley inherited a lot from his father, Albert. Not only was Albert one of the most impactful songwriters in American history, writing songs such as I'll Fly Away and Turn Your Radio On, but he also had a major music publishing company in Powell, Missouri. Here's the sisters talking about how Bob handled that and went about living life.
He was born in December of 1937, so January of 1938, he was in the business. It was pretty much like that. We did the same thing. Yeah. I mean, once the kids were born, and we even have photos that have recently been posted in the late 50s, early 60s of the brothers before they went their separate ways, all working together, putting the books together. I mean, that's just part of your family business. It supported you, it brought income, and it's what you did. But that's how Dad, he was always a part of the business.
Yeah.
Dad never left. Dad was really very passionate about continuing the legacy for what Grandpa brought to the world, bringing awareness, sharing it with people, selling books, performing. I mean, Dad had his own. Mm-hmm. They all did the business, but they all sang too. Now, I'm sure you know the story, Betsy, but one of my favorite stories of their singing was, as a group, all the kids, when the boys were older, they would travel together in this car with barely any gas in it, barely any money, and they would stop at a general store somewhere when they got closer to whatever coon hunt or fox hunt or pie supper or whatever event they were going to go play at, and pick up some ring bologna and some saltine crackers and Coke. And that was, they ate on that for days. Well, because they didn't leave and then come back like we do now. They left for a while because it was a thing to drive, and you had to be able to, you probably needed to get paid to afford gas sometimes when you were going around. And that's just how they ate. Plus, they liked it.
Well, and Dad used to have to sit on the floor underneath his bass.
Yeah, that's true.
Because Dad played the upright bass. So mm-hmm. his place in the car was in the floorboard of the back seat under his bass. That's how he rode. For a frame of reference, what I think about is when on Andy Griffith with Johnny Fleet, the Beat or whatever comes through in that long,
big old bus-like Cadillac
car. That's totally what they did. Mm-hmm. I mean, they all piled in there with their instruments. And just did it. I mean, so you've got a couple of guitars, you've got the big old bass, you've got the steel guitar, Jack's mandolin and stuff. I mean, so there's a lot of instruments in there, plus their clothes, their outfits or uniforms, whatever they call them, mm-hmm. stage clothes, mm-hmm. and then their regular clothes. So, I mean, if you think about all the space that takes up, mm-hmm. that's a lot.
They all played instruments because Grandpa gave them instruments mm-hmm. when they were around 8 or 9 years old to start learning. And Dad was a guitar and the upright bass and the piano. And he kept being able to play those his entire life. They didn't take the piano back then, but they did take the bass and the guitars and stuff with them. And that was part of being in the business too, because that was Grandpa's background. You traveled around, you sang your music, you let people hear it, took books with you to sell, you know, and that was how he was introduced and participated in the business. And then his brothers left. Some of them went to the service, but in the 60s was something called the Bakersfield Sound that was being developed. And they wanted to be a part of that. And so Tom and Al and Dad's younger brother, Jack, they just picked up and moved. Well, Dad decided to stay to keep the business going because they really didn't have anybody working for him that did the things the boys did. So he and Bill stayed. So that was what happened, where Dad just made that choice to stay. But he also loved to perform because he had his own band.
Yeah,
he had not with just his family and brothers, but his own that he toured around with. I can remember when I was little, specific fox hunt in Stella, which is where my mom grew up, but this was after they'd met and married, and then he played on the stage and we'd go do the hangout thing, and then he'd pack up and we'd come home. And so he was always part of the music, whether it was behind the scenes like what we do mostly now, or in on the stage. And he had a great voice. He's good, really good with his pitch. I mean, he was really good.
He was.
And until he was gone, he could sing really well.
And then in 1976, Bill and Dad bought the company, from the publishing company, from Grandpa. Grandpa was ready to retire because he was in his 70s, so they bought the company. And then Dad purchased Bill out in 1983, and then it's been, we've run it ever since, you know. So, you know, Dad just is always, like Elaine said, had always had a love for this, the music and the industry side. But, you know, having a passion for the publishing is different than having a passion for the music, because publishing is such a unique animal. And there's like five people in the world that understand publishing.
And copyrights.
Right, and thank goodness we're one of them. But it's, which is part of the reason we've lasted so long, because we actually do understand the business. We know how it works because we've been around since it was invented, basically. So yeah, I mean, Dad learned those things and kept our business relevant. So, you know, understanding, seeing the trends, keeping it up, keeping his finger on the pulse with the old stuff too, because understanding that the nostalgia, you know, that the ages, as we age, our tastes change, knowing that the older generation, as they come into being, the baby boomers or whatever they're called, are going to be looking for those old songs that they grew up with. Well, we have those. And then that's going to be passed on. So there's always, it's always going to be there. So we've always have kept the books, but we had the singings, and we did the, when we upgraded to different things, you know, and just got involved in movies and television and streaming and all the stuff. But
his main goal was keep that legacy alive, to make sure that people, because as time passes and generations come anew, the name is not associated with the music anymore. And that's part of the thing that we're trying to do, is bring him to people's minds and what he contributed. At least in my mind, that's what I think about. And making sure that they know the song that was in O Brother Art Thou that sold millions of copies was done by this amazing human being a long time ago, and people still love to hear what he had to say from then. And Dad really was big on that.
Yeah,
he really wanted to do that too.
And you're listening to Betsy and Elaine Brumley tell the story of their father, Bob. And by the way, they told a brilliant story of their granddaddy, Albert, the composer of I'll Fly Away and Turn Your Radio On, and so many others. When we come back, more of this remarkable family and musical story here on Our American Story. Folks, if you love the great American stories we tell and love America like we do, we're asking you to become a part of the Our American Stories family. If you agree that America is a good and great country, please make a donation. A monthly gift of $17.76 is fast becoming a favorite option for supporters. Go to OurAmericanStories.com now and go to the donate button and help us keep the great American stories coming. That's OurAmericanStories.com.
Hey, this is Christina Quinn. I'm the host of Try This, the Washington Post's new series of audio courses. The idea behind Try This is to become better functioning humans without having to comb the internet for countless hours. In our first course, we learned how to sleep better. Now, we're going to learn how to make our friendships stronger. I'll offer expert tips that are doable, and I'll keep it short. So let's do this. Classes in session. Find Try This from the Washington Post wherever you listen.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With dozens of streaming services, box office films, and content to choose from, people are spending over 2.5 years of their lives searching for what to watch. But The Hollywood Reporter brings you THR Charts, one place for you, your family, and friends to find the most watched TV shows and movies every week. THR Charts is a guide to help you spend less time scrolling through platforms so that you can spend more time watching and binging the content everyone is talking about, all supported by data and trusted sources like Nielsen, Comscore, and Paired Analytics. Check out THR Charts on HollywoodReporter.com.
And we return to Our American Stories, and the story of Bob Brumley is told by his daughters, Betsy and Elaine. When we last left off, the sisters were talking about their father's mission to preserve and honor the legacy of his father, Albert E. Brumley, who was a composer and music book publisher. Let's continue with this great family story.
Part of the book part and the printing and all that stuff was they were raw books, which they had raw edges. And there was something called the book press and something called the book cutter. Well, Dad ended up being the champion book cutter, and he developed this amazing muscle that rode right across the top of his elbow that not many people develop, and he was really strong hands because you'd put the books in, you'd smush them back, you'd cut the edges, turn them, cut them. You had to cut three of the edges off. And we would play in the pilings of the paper like they were leaves, like fall
How
leaves.
How did we get paper cuts?
I was just thinking that. I don't know. Maybe we did, but it was just so much
fun. It was fun.
He had his own way of looking at things, mm-hmm. just like Grandpa did. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't exactly like Grandpa's. It was a little bit different.
It was different.
Yeah.
Dad's favorite stuff, though. I mean, Dad, it was Christmas time. Mm-hmm. Dad was like a 5-year-old at Christmas mm-hmm. time.
The magic of Christmas always touched him. And we had some amazing stories from our childhood mm-hmm. with Christmas. You know, he left footprints for you guys, right?
Yeah, Santa Claus footprints, yeah, mm-hmm. the powder, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He put lights up. I mean, the man put so many lights up. It wasn't Christmas vacation lights, but he loved lights. He loved all the stuff that came with Christmas. And we always had stockings, and we always had a toy. And, but we would have the same candy. So Mom and Dad, we had Christmas stockings.
This is every year.
Every year.
It was literally the same candy.
Literally the same candy. You know, you get growing up, because there's German parts, you would get an orange, an apple, and candy in your stocking at Christmas time. Well, it got to be, because we never ate it because it was gross candy, but they had to put it in there. So literally, they would put the candy in plastic and just drop it in our socks, the same candy, every single year.
Because it stuck together.
Because it stuck together. Because it was above the fireplace. It melted and it stuck together. But they used to, because we never ate it. Even when we were little, we never ate it.
But that's one thing about him, and I think Grandpa as well, and my mom and Grandma. There was a lot of traditions that really... Because it didn't matter what it was a matter that it was year by year. I mean, he really liked following certain traditions like that. It meant nostalgic. It meant something to him to do those kinds of things every year. And it didn't matter if the candy stuck together or not, or if we ate the orange or the apple, because we didn't eat those either.
No, we didn't.
And, you know, we just got the stocking present. But those kinds of things, he did that with a lot of aspects of his life, mm-hmm. you know.
And literally, as we got older and he got older, if you lived in Powell, you could set your watch by Dad. And I mean that because every single day at 11:30, he went to get the mail. It doesn't matter where, he went to get the mail. And I mean, people would, they knew what his schedule was. I mean, people would know. And if Dad wasn't getting the mail or whatever, people would call and say, is Bob okay? Because he wasn't there to get the mail. He was, tradition, his routine, everything was very precise and scheduled for him. did have a fabulous sense of humor
mm-hmm.
that was very corny. And I guess we even used that in his obituary because it was part of his personality and it's how he connected with people. He would tell you this corny joke and you'd roll your eyes, but you find yourself telling it 10 minutes later because
it's so funny.
It's kind of funny and silly. And that's how I remember a lot about him. And he never meant to be, he was never disrespectful, but he told them at all the weird times,
mm-hmm.
you know, at visitations for funerals or at a funeral or
some serious event,
he would come up with this corny joke that he remembered.
And it's relevant somehow.
And somehow it connected to the situation you were in. I remember, he's really smart.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I really have a great memory of, is how smart Dad was. He was a very internal person, but he had a way of and a perspective of viewing things. Now, it took him 15 minutes to get there, but once he got there, it made a lot of sense.
And you ask how I'd want him to be remembered. Mm-hmm. You know, I just want him to be remembered as Dad, as Bob.
Yeah.
He really cared about everything he did. Dad, you know, he never met a stranger. He was like Grandma Brumley, like this. If he met you once, mm-hmm. he remembered your name. He remembered what your kids' names were. He remembered what illnesses you had. I mean, the man remembered everything about you. But everything about him was authentic. Dad didn't even know how to put on airs. If he tried, he wouldn't know how to put on airs. And what's that old saying, you never get above your raisin or whatever? Dad never did. He never forgot where he came from.
Mm-hmm.
He felt that he earned everything. And I think he absolutely earned everything he did.
And just that passion he had for that legacy. I mean, it was the drive of behind mm-hmm. his business life. And
he made sure that it was in a place of honor. People in the industry recognized that. So he was recognized for respecting the Southern gospel roots, when a lot of people tend to push them aside, he kept them alive.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people in the industry and in the music industry really respected him for that. And he had his own accomplishments like that.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of it we talk about because Grandpa's legacy was so big,
mm-hmm.
but when you live in the shadow of someone with a name like Albert E. Brumley and his works are considered part of the fabric of America, it's hard to have your own because you do find yourself preserving. Just like even for Elaine and mm-hmm. I, it's hard. I mean, we're still living in Grandpa's shadow, if you will,
mm-hmm.
but we're making our own way. Dad did his.
Yeah, and he had his own set of awards and accomplishments that he achieved after Grandpa passed and he bought the business.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a thing that always meant something to me. One thing that Dad always made sure of, because of the respect he had for the industry, was to make sure he paid his people. Now, if you know the industry, that didn't always happen in events and things like that. It was a tough business. Music can be tough. And if you're in it at all, you probably understand that. But he always made sure to respect the people he brought on, whether they were talent or we paid a tribute every year to the volunteers that helped at our events with this delicious food, because food is fun and it was something they could all gather in and appreciate. He appreciated what the people contributed to his whatever it was.
But he also respected the fans.
And he appreciated the fans, absolutely.
Because, I mean, one of my favorite stories is when one of the groups wanted to leave early from the singing one year,
mm-hmm.
and he pulled them over from backstage and pulled the curtain back, and he said, "You see all those people out there?" And he said, "Yeah." He said, "Now, I can't do without them. You, I can do without. If you want to leave, you're not going to get paid.
And you're not coming back.
You're not coming back.
Because you're disrespecting the fans.
Because you're disrespecting these fans who came to see you.
And paid to see you.
But if you want to stay, I'll be happy to pay you." And that's exactly what they did.
Mm-hmm.
Because Dad understood the relationship of, these are hardworking people.
Mm-hmm.
These are your fans who have taken their hard-earned money and paid a ticket to see you perform. And if you are going to disrespect them by not thinking they're worthy or whatever mm-hmm. your problem is, then I'm not having you back. Because this is an equal respect
mm-hmm.
back and forth between mm-hmm. between the artist and the fan. And then also as the promoter, the person
mm-hmm.
who put it on, we all respect each other.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody adds something. Nobody's better than anybody else. I love that about Dad.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody had a place.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody had a job. You did your job. You got paid for your job, unless you were volunteered, which you still got paid for because, man, we took care of everything.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, that's what you did. So you're exactly right.
Yeah, that was a very big factor of Dad's personality, mm-hmm. and that I really always greatly appreciated. And I carry that with me now. I'm very aware and very particular that when I do something with people, I treat them with that same respect mm-hmm. to the best of my ability in the situation.
Absolutely.
So that, to me, was pretty cool about him, because it was that way in everything he mm-hmm. did.
And a great job, as always, by Monty Montgomery on the production and the storytelling. And a special thanks to Betsy and Elaine Brumley, sharing the story of their father, Bob, this time. Last time it was of granddaddy, Albert. And my goodness, if you can have two daughters tell the story of your life as a mother or a father, well, blessed are you and lucky are you. The story of the Brumley family, and this time Bob Brumley, as told by his daughters, Betsy and Elaine, here on Our American Stories.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With dozens of streaming services, box office films, and content to choose from, people are spending over 2.5 years of their lives searching for what to watch. But The Hollywood Reporter brings you THR Charts, one place for you, your family, and friends to find the most watched TV shows and movies every week. THR Charts is a guide to help you spend less time scrolling through platforms so that you can spend more time watching and binging the content everyone is talking about, all supported by data and trusted sources like Nielsen, Comscore, and Paired Analytics. Check out THR Charts on HollywoodReporter.com.
Variety is back with its annual Entertainment Marketing Summit on April 24th at the luxurious Beverly Hilton Hotel in Los Angeles. This must-attend event for entertainment marketers will feature conversations with leaders from Netflix, Paramount, Activision, Mattel, LA Rams, Google, and more. Plus, an exclusive keynote conversation with Paris Hilton. The networking opportunities are unbeatable. And once you register, you can start chatting with other registrants to plan a meetup at the lunch or cocktail hour. Limited tickets are available, so secure your spot today at events.variety.com.